Now, this whole week, we have every message, every class, it's all been about, you know, witnessing for the Lord in some way, form, or fashion, to encourage you to go out and to tell people about Christ. And this final message, I'd planned on preaching this for some time as a last message. Tonight, or this morning, the title of this message will really sum it all up on why we should do what we've been taught. And the title of this morning's message is Worthy is the Lamb. I turn to Revelation chapter 4, if you would. Revelation chapter 4. I would love to just read all of chapter 4 and all of chapter 5, but we won't read that entire section. I believe the context is immediately after the rapture. I believe you see that in Revelation 4:1. I think we have the rapture there when the trumpet was talking with John and said, "Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter." I believe that's the context of God's people going up. And there we will be. We will be worshiping the Lord and praising God. And how wonderful that is going to be. And there we see a wonderful picture of the awesome beast that will be around the throne and all those things. We'll make mention of that just in passing in a moment. But we'll read just one verse in chapter 4 and verse 11. There will be the 24 elders will fall down before the Lord that sat upon the throne and worship Him, casting their crowns before the throne. In verse 11, they will say, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created." And you go on, you find in chapter 5 that there's a book, and no one is able to open that book. And there's no one to open the book. The strong angel could not open the book. We find that no man in heaven could open the book. We find that no one on earth, under the earth, could open the book. And they said, "Who is worthy to open the book?" in verse 2. And we find that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, He is worthy to open the book. Amen. And we find that as they worship Him and they are in praise of Him, we go on down to verse 9 and they say, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood, and out of every kindred and every tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word today. And Father, I pray that You'd help me to truly exalt You this morning. For Lord, I truly believe that when You are exalted, that all men, women, boys, and girls are drawn unto You. And so, Father, help me to exalt the name of Christ today. And Father, I pray that You would be exalted today, that it might be the motivation, Lord, it might be the focus of Your people, Lord, to go out and to witness and to tell others about You. Lord, we've sought by Your grace to encourage and to witness and give instruction and to preach and all of those sayings about bringing people to You. But Father, I know that if we are not saturated with the mindset of the exaltation of Jesus Christ, and He is not at the forefront of our heart and our mind and sitting today upon the throne of our hearts, then Lord, we will not go. Lord, so help us to truly love You as we ought. Help us to know today that You are our all in all. Dethrone, O God, the things that would take Your place in our life. Help us, Lord, to dethrone, Lord, entertainment, and to dethrone, Lord, the things of this life that would seek to take Your place in our hearts and lives. And Lord, when truly You are in Your rightful place, Lord, in our hearts, and truly God, when You are truly exalted, we will go, we will speak, and we will say with Isaiah, "Here am I, send me." And so God, help us to see that today. May You be exalted. In Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You know what a day this will be when we behold this, and I read chapter 4 and chapter 5 from time to time, and I tell you, it's just a wonderful thing to read. I get excited just reading those two chapters. It just thrills my soul. Now, this is not something that has happened, but something that shall happen very soon. I believe, as I said, we got the rapture in chapter 4, verse 1. Picture of the rapture there, no doubt. We have God sitting on the throne. If you read the whole chapters there, you will find there's a rainbow round about the throne. Out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings. 24 seats round the throne with the elders upon them. A sea of glass like unto crystal before the throne. And in the midst, four beasts of awesome appearance, saying night and day, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." The elders falling down and worshiping the Lamb, saying, as we read in chapter 4 and verse 11, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power." And so we just see the Lord Jesus Christ being exalted. In the hand of the one sitting on the throne, there was a book that none could open save the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God. We see also that there are billions of people round about the throne in verse 11 of chapter 5. He says, "And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands." That is billions of people.
Amen.
Billions of people round about the throne. What a sight this will be when all of those join their voices together and blend their voices together and exalt the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Now, as we said, the message this morning is, "Worthy is the Lamb." Notice in verse 12 what else we will say. These billions and billions of people, this thousands, 10,000 times in thousands, we will blend our voices together and sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." The word "worthy" is found five times in those two chapters of chapter 4 and chapter 5. Now, first of all, what I want you to consider this morning, why He was worthy. Why He is worthy. In chapter 4, verse 11, He says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things." He's worthy because He is our Creator. He's our Maker. Who else could be worthy of glory and honor and power? And none else has created, none else has given life. Man thinks he has involved or evolved himself and in return has made himself a god. But my God is worthy. Your God is worthy. For He has created you. He has breathed within you and your nostrils the breath of life. And you live and move and have your being. You owe Him your all in all. Our God is worthy, for He has created us. He's our Maker and He's our God.
Amen.
He has made us and not we ourselves. He has breathed within our nostrils and made us a living soul. Many may tend to worship and exalt creation rather than the Creator. But if the rocks could speak and if the hills could sing, if the trees could clap their hands, they would say the same. Worthy is the Lamb. He is Creator. We see that in John 1, 1 through 3. Christ is the Creator. Also, we see He's worthy in chapter 5 and verse 9, where it mentions worthy. He's worthy. And they said a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and open the seals thereof." Why? "For Thou was slain." For Thou was slain. He's worthy this morning of what we're going to mention in a moment, because He was the one that was slain. He's worthy for all that He's done for us. He gave us life. And He's given us salvation. He was slain. You know, any time we have a hard time, you know, in our life seeking to give God what He deserves, we just need to meditate upon He was slain.
Amen.
He was slain for our sins. He died for us. He gave His hands, so let us give our hands. He gave His feet, so let us give our feet. He gave His back, so let us give our back. He gave His head, so let's give our mind. Let's give our all to God, for He was slain. We are not worthy of the riches. We are not worthy of the glory. We are not worthy of the honor or the blessing, for He was slain. He bore our judgment, and He bore our cross, and He took upon Himself our sin, for He was slain. He was mocked. He was lied about and beaten and pierced. He hung upon the cross. He was slain for our sakes.
Amen.
He's the one that willingly laid down His life for us. So let us be willing to say, "Thou art worthy." You know, any time you don't think, you know, God is worthy of what you're being challenged to give, meditate upon Calvary. Anytime you feel like holding back and say, well, this is too hard, this is too much, meditate upon Calvary. Anytime you're tempted to say, well, I just don't know, this is an awful lot for me to give to God, meditate upon Calvary. Anytime you start getting tired and think, well, I just can't go to church, meditate upon Calvary. Anytime you start wanting to give up and say, you know, what's the use? I mean, the devil's just fighting so hard and things are happening, and meditate upon Calvary, what Christ did for you. He is worthy. In verse 9, he says as well, for thou art worthy, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood. We did not redeem ourselves, but we've been redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ. We were at enmity with God. We were not reconciled to God. We were enemies of the cross. We were followers of the devil. We could not pick ourselves up out of the miry clay, but He picked us up and redeemed us to God by His own blood. And He's not going to receive honor just from the Jews either, which is the context in which we see He is going to actually receive honor from every kindred and tongue and people and nation. He's redeemed us by His blood of all nations. One blood, many nations, we see. The blood of the Son of God. Worthy is the Lamb. How wonderful it will be to be around the throne with billions and billions of people of every skin color, of every size, of every age, around the throne saying, worthy is the Lamb. You have redeemed us by Your own blood. Amen. And I can't wait.
Amen.
I get so excited just thinking about it. I want to go right now.
Amen.
And I just anticipate it so much. You know, so He's done all that. He's given us life. He died for us, was slain, and through that He redeemed us to God. He paid the ransom price. He paid the price, redeemed us. And then there we were in such a mess of opposed to God, against God, and He changed all of that and changed our hearts. And then He exalts us. In verse 10 He says, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. I mean, look at what God's done.
Amen.
There we were. We were the dust, and we were the worm of the earth, if you would. And yet He came and He died for us and redeemed us and sent His Spirit into our hearts. And He's made us kings and priests unto our God. And we will come back. I mean, we go up in chapter 4, verse 1, but there's coming a day when we're going to come back with Christ, the Word of God talks about. We're going to rule, and we're going to reign with Christ on the earth for 1,000 years.
Amen.
I mean, He's worthy. I mean, either we're going to be reigning during that time, and we're going to be in awe in what God is allowing us to do.
Amen.
Here we are. I can't believe God's exalted us to this. God's allowed us to do this. We have not nor shall not get ourselves to a place of such high degree, but Christ is the one that has brought us there. We shall reign, but it is the Lamb that has done it all. God and His people shall reign on this earth a glorious day, but all the glory won't go to the faithful. All the glory will not go to us. It will go to Him. We will definitely sit in those places of authority as God's people, but while we sit there, we will know why we're there, and we will say, worthy is the Lamb. All honor and power belongs to Him. Now we see who wasn't worthy in our passage, and we won't just by passing, we mentioned it already by way of introduction earlier. The strong angel wasn't worthy in chapter 5, verse 2. No man in heaven was worthy. In verse 3, no man in heaven was worthy. Abraham, are you worthy? Joseph, David, Jeremiah, Daniel, are you worthy? Surely one of you is worthy to open the book, and they were not. They would blend their voices together and say, we are not worthy. Well, John the Baptist, how about you? He would say, I'm not even worthy to untie the shoe of the Son of God, much less to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, and blessing. How about you, Mary? Are you worthy? She would tell all, say, I'm not worthy. He is worthy. There was nothing in earth, and in verse 3, nothing in earth that is worthy. Now, here's the principle by which I'm wanting to bring all of this together this morning. And you know, we've sought this week, you know, to encourage you to be witnesses for the Lord and to do the work of God and giving some instruction on that. And there's so much more we could even teach and preach on we didn't get to this week. But there's just so much out there. But you know, you can have all that instruction, you can have all that. But listen, when Christ is not truly, when He's not the lover of your soul, when He's not upon the throne of your heart, and He's not exalted in your minds, let me tell you what, you won't do it.
Right.
You won't do it. And if you do it, it'll be for self-glory. Be for self-glory. You see, I remember reading this verses before and thinking, I don't understand this. He's worthy to receive power. God's worthy to... How does God receive power? What's this talking about? He's worthy to receive riches. I mean, how does God receive riches? What is this talk? Haven't you ever read that and thought, what is the teaching here? It's not talking about Him getting something that He cannot obtain. And it's not talking about something, you know, we're going to make God rich. But He's worthy to receive it from us. And that's what He's talking about. He's worthy of power. In other words, in verse 12, when He says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, He's worthy of your power. Not that God needs power. But He's worthy of your power. He's worthy of your power. Any power we have should be used to honor God with. Amen. Shouldn't the power that's been given unto God's people, unto us, be used to honor the Lord because He is worthy? Should maybe the power of influence that you have, the power of position that you may have, God is worthy for you to use that power for Him? The power you have to be able to reach unto others and in your position in life, He's worthy of you to use that power for Him, that power of influence that you may have with others. He's worthy of all of our forces and energies to be spent towards Him. You see, He's worthy of you taking your power and use it for Him. We see He's worthy of power to receive power and riches. You see, what riches do we have that God is not worthy of? How much money do you have that God is not worthy of? It is He that has given us the power, He says, to get wealth. Is He not worthy of all of our riches? Now listen, He's definitely worthy of your tithe. And He's definitely worthy of your time. You could not give God too much. You could not outgive God. And you could not give so much to think, well, I've given more than God is worthy. But God is worthy. He deserves our all in all. Because He's worthy. He's worthy of your riches. See, I don't know why people would have a hard time with giving God their tithe. I don't know why they would have a hard time with it. He's worthy, you see. When Christ is exalted, listen, you give that which you unto that which you love. I mean, I like to deer hunt. I do. And for the first time in my life, I actually bought a crossbow this year. I live in Ohio, and you can use a crossbow all the time. And I like that. I like pulling that trigger. And, you know, it had to come up with some money to do that, you know. So I found somewhere almost the cheapest one, but not the cheapest one, you know, something I might be able to afford and still might be good. And I didn't mind really paying the money. I had it at the moment, and so I did it. And... But I like it, you see. Now some of you say, I'd never pay any money for something like that. But it's not worth it to you. It's not worth it to you. It's worth it to me. You see, you're willing to spend money on that which is worth it to you. And the bottom line is, people don't want to give to God their money because He's not worth it.
Yep. That's right.
Oh, they'll come up with all kinds of theological excuses. Well, brother, I just don't think we have to tithe today in the New Testament. Yeah, the Bible teaches you should. But, you know, why would you, you know, even if the Bible didn't say you had to or should, do it because He's worthy.
Right.
You see, you can't get around that. we spend 10% on more than everything else in our life. You spend more than 10% on your food. You spend more than 10% on your car. You spend more than 10% on your house. You spend more than 10% on your kids. You spend more than 10% on yourself. So I think God can get at least 10%. You see, and He ought to get more than that. But I'm just saying, you know, but you spend that which is worthy to you, that which is important to you, you will spend that upon. He's worthy of all of your riches. What riches do we have that Christ is not worthy of? But yet so many times that the things of this earth gets more of our riches than God. You know, there's nothing in heaven or earth more worthy of our riches. And then he says he's worthy of wisdom. Well, God's worthy of wisdom. What's that saying? I mean, God's got all wisdom. God is all wisdom. He's worthy of all the faculty of your mind. God's worthy to receive all of my power, all of my riches, all of my wisdom. He's worthy of taking every faculty of my mind and using it for His honor and for His glory, because He is worthy. Christ is worthy to receive all the faculty of our mind, all of our thoughts. He's worthy for me to bring every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. He's worthy, men, when you're tempted to look at things on the internet you shouldn't look at. God is worthy for you to turn your head. God is worthy for you to channel your mind where it needs to be upon your wife. God is worthy of all of that. He's worthy of you using your mind to make wise and godly decisions. He's worthy of everything you can give Him in your mind. Listen, God wants us to love Him with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind, doesn't He? He wants our minds. But you know what? We waste our minds on things that have not made us. We waste our minds on things that have not redeemed us. We waste our minds on things that do not profit, don't we? How much of our mind is occupied by things that are no good? You know, there's a battle today, and it's a battle for our minds.
Right.
I mean, Satan's got so many things out there, doesn't he? You know, I mean, there are so many things you can fill your mind with, books and magazines and games and TV and all of that. And we get wrapped up in those things, and we get to pray, and we can't even pray because we've got every image floating through our head and through our minds, whether it be video games or movies or whatever it may be, books and all that's floating in our head, and we can't even pray without those things coming in our minds. You know, it's just so saturated. So saturated. Let's fill our minds with good and godly things. Let us think on things that are pure and lovely and of good report. God, help us to give God our minds. You see, when Christ is your all in all, and you're thankful that He's redeemed you, and you're thankful He's given you life, and you're thankful that we have eternal life, and we're going to reign with Him and all the blessings of God, when you're thankful for those things, and truly you're exalting Christ, it won't be hard to give Him your mind. He says worthy, next is mentioned in verse 12, He's worthy of wisdom and strength. Now what could we possibly not give God? He deserves everything, for He's worthy of all of our strength. The worthiness of Jesus should strip laziness right out of us. I mean, all of our strength, all of our power, of our influence, but also all of our strength, if we truly exalt Him as we should, and there should be nothing that we look at and say, well, that's just going to take too much work. That's going to take too much effort. That's going to take some work for you to get involved more in your life of witnessing and telling people about Christ. I mean, there's going to be some time involved. It's going to take some strength. You're going to get tired sometimes. It's going to take some strength. It's going to take some self-denial. I mean, it's going to wear your body out sometimes. I mean, you can't... Listen, we can never wear our bodies out like old David Brainerd when he went to the Indians. I mean, that guy, I mean, he lost his life for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Died at a young age. I can't remember the age. It was even past 30. Wasn't even past 30. And he wore his body out to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Indians. I mean, and he didn't mind it. I mean, say, well, we expend ourselves a little bit of strength. Well, I'm a little bit tired. And we could not ever give enough for the Lord. I'm not saying we should live in such a state where we feel like, well, I just can't never do enough for Jesus. In a sense, you know, where you're beating yourself down. That's what I'm talking about. But we should look at Christ in such a way and where we just love Him so much and adore Him so much that we say, you know what, yeah, I'm a little tired, but God, I want to do it for Jesus and do it for His honor and for His glory. He's worthy of the strength it takes to get up in the morning and go to church. He's worthy of the strength it takes to work for your family, men, and earn an honest living. He's worthy of the strength it takes for you to go and to visit others and to seek to draw them to Christ. He's worthy of the strength it takes, you know, to work on the Lord's house and to keep it clean and those kind of things. He's worthy of that. And we get tired, I know. But you know, that's all we got to keep in our minds, that everything we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Doing all things for Him. Doing it all for Him. You know, when we get our mind off of that, things get hard, don't they? Services get hard. I mean, working gets hard. I mean, witnessing gets hard. Whenever we just got our minds in our own place and we're not doing it for Him. Do it for Jesus, for His sake. And then next He says He's worthy of honor. Worthy of honor. Though we may be honored in this life for certain reasons, and indeed God has honored us to call us kings and priests, He is the one that is called the King, and He is the one called our High Priest. Any honor we receive due to position should be channeled, should be an opportunity to give that honor and praise back unto God. So whether you be a preacher, whether you be a Sunday school teacher, whether you be a deacon or a senior in a church, whether you be a piano player, whatever it may be, that you may receive some honor from men, let all that honor be that is bestowed upon you, may you use that to give God glory. Right. You know, preachers are not to receive honor for their messages. They are to channel that honor to the Lord. Not in a false sense of humility and say, well, to God be the glory, brother. Don't give me glory, you know. But that honor the Lord. You can say, thank you, appreciate that. Pray for me. And, you know, just to give that note, you know, it's the Lord. It's the Lord's help. The Lord's the one who's done it. I mean, giving the Lord the honor, giving it to Him. He's worthy of all the honor that people may seek to bestow upon you. How great it would be that all those that are in position, that have been exalted to position of honor, that any time they receive praise, would seek to give that honor to God. Amen. He says, worthy of glory. Worthy of glory. Meaning that He is worthy of all the splendor. He's worthy of all the brightness. Meaning the sun, the moon, the stars, and the saints can give. He's worthy of all the exaltation. And David in Psalms 57, 7 through 9, has talked about the Lord. He said, not unto us be glory, but he's talked about all the glory and the praise be unto the Lord. Not unto us. I love how David says, not unto us. Not unto us be the glory. David wants God to get the glory. One time David said, arise up my glory and give to God. And David wanted his glory to go to God. He wanted his splendor as a king to go to God. And that's the way we will be when we are exalted as kings and priests. We will say, all of our glory, all of our splendor, all of our exaltation be to the Lamb. As kings and priests scattered out throughout the whole earth, and people will be coming, will be ruling and reigning and with Christ on the earth. And as people may be tempted, as there will be lost people upon this earth, as people will be tempted maybe to channel that honor and glory to us, we'll say to the Lamb be glory. He's the one that's exalted us. Worthy is He, not we ourselves. And through the echo of the whole earth, will be honor and glory to the Lord. And we don't want the glory for who we are, what we do, what we will do, or what we will be. But unto God be all the glory for the great things He hath done. He is worthy of blessing. He's worthy of blessing. Speaking of praise, He's worthy of all your praise. He's worthy of the best of words from the most joyfulest of hearts. Surely when the worthiness of Christ is seen by us, there won't be enough praise that can exit our lips and come forth from our hearts. David mentions praise over 132 times. He says things like praise the Lord, to sing praise to His name, praise Him in the congregation, praise God before the wicked. And why? Because God was worthy. God was worthy in His eyes. When Christ is exalted, you want to praise Him. I mean, when the Lord is everything, you want to sing to Him. When the Lord is everything, you want to exalt His name and sing to His glorious name. Why? Because He's worthy of that. You want to praise God. You want to come to the house of God. You want to sing His praises. You want to pray. You want to exalt His name. You want others to see Him. Why? Because He is worthy of all of your praise. Amen. That's how many can just, you know, don't really care, you know, about the house of the Lord or praising the Lord. The bottom line is they just don't love Him like they should. He's not worthy. He's not worthy in their estimation. If Christ is exalted in your life, and you believe He is worthy of everything you possess, you won't have any problem giving Him praise. But when you exalt self-interest, pride, and so on before God, then sure enough you'll find it hard to sing praises to God. You know, the Lord is worthy of everything we have. And that's what bothers me in my life. Because when I see that I'm not giving God my all, when I see that God really doesn't possess my power, my riches, my wisdom, my strength, my honor, my glory, my blessings, when I see He's really not getting that from me, it bothers me, because I know this truth, that if Christ was where He needed to be in my life, He would get all of that. And so when I see that I'm holding back, I realize that that is a reflection of my estimation of God in my life. That's what bothers me, that I'm not loving the Lord like I should. Isn't that what bothers you more than anything as a child of God? When you see you're sinning against the Lord, or Christ isn't everything to you, that's what bothers us more than anything. I think it should. We're not loving God. We're not loving Him. And He's not adored. He's not honored. I mean, He's not exalted in our life. And that's why we're making the wrong decisions with our mind. That's why we're holding back our riches. That's why we're not giving our strength. That's why we're not giving Him all of our honor, is we are not seeing Him as worthy. If He was worthy, we would give Him more. If He was worthy, we'd give Him our all. But you know, the problem is, I mean, though we may feel guilty about it, the problem is we still have this old flesh, don't we? It gets in our way, and it wants to be exalted. It thinks it's worthy of everything that there is in this life. And so we look forward to the day in which we will then, right here when this takes place, that old flesh is going to be gone, isn't it? I mean, it fights us now. It wants the glory. It wants the praise. It wants the honor. But glory be to God, someday we won't have to subdue it no more. We won't have to crucify it. We won't have to mortify it. But because we're the saints of God, we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. Glory be to God, when Jesus Christ comes back, we'll get rid of this old flesh. We'll have a new body likened unto His glorious body. We'll be changed in a moment and twinkling an eye, when the trumpet of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and we'll be comforted one another in the presence of the Almighty God. And we'll get rid of this old flesh. And how wonderful it will be. Because truly in this moment, when we have this rid of this old flesh, will we truly be able to give our all? Amen. I want to give my all now. Amen. This old flesh gets in the way. And that's what's going to make it so great right here. Because then for the first time, will we truly be able to give everything. I'm excited about that. Because right now, this old flesh wants some of it. And we must still fight it. Maybe there's some here this morning. Maybe you know you've been purposely holding back on God, and you've been fighting with some things in your life. Maybe you've been holding back your power, your riches, your wisdom, your strength, your honor. May Christ be exalted here this morning, so that you would give Him your all, that He might sit upon the throne of your heart today. May we surrender our all, because He is worthy. He's died for you on Mount Calvary, child of God. He gave you life. He gave you eternal life. And He saved your soul, giving you a book to instruct you. Placed you in a church that where the pastor wants to give you the Word of God and love over you and pray over you. He's worked in your life miraculously to perform. He's worthy of everything you can give Him. Don't hold back. Whoever you're trying to hold back, I guarantee you, He's worthy of it. See, I truly believe the principle of this. And as a preacher, it's what I want to do more than anything. Exalt Jesus Christ. Exalt Jesus Christ. That is the greatest motivator for any church to come together and to serve Christ. When Christ is exalted, He said, "I will draw all men unto Me." That's a principle I've sought to live by for several years. No matter what I did, I was exalting Christ. That will move the people of God who are in love with Jesus to serve God more than anything else. What greater reason to give your all than to know this morning He's worthy of it.